Hi, and welcome to this week's Connectivity. I'm Scott Thompson. First up, we have a new segment for you featuring myself, Andy Gergen, and Mike Splenz as we break down all the information that came out of the Nintendo press conference late last week. After that, I talk to Dan Koopman, our European correspondent, who just recently got to play the entirety of Super Mario 3D Land. Finally, we've got our second game of NWR Jeopardy, hosted by myself and Neil Ronahan, and our contestants this week are Pedro Hernandez, Andy Gergen, Mike Splenz, and Zachary Miller. Enjoy.
Hey everyone, I'm here with Scott Thompson and Mike Splenz. We've got a lot of news to go over, so let's get into it. I'm going to split this up into three sections. I'm going to kick it off with the 3DS news, because there's a lot of it out there. Last Friday, there was a 3DS like press event in Japan where they went over a whole bunch of stuff, and I'm just going to kind of go through this one by one. But the first thing they announced was they're going to put a system update in November, which is going to include 3D video recording. Oh, wow.
yeah, I cannot wait to not use this feature.
Yeah. Like, actually, I found the 3D camera really kind of compelling for the first few days.
Yeah, but when you had no games to play?
Yeah, exactly.
I took probably 30 3D photos, and I have not used it since.
No, yeah. It's weird because according to what we reported on, so I have to assume it's obviously true, it's odd because you can record in, like, bursts, like 10 seconds, 2 seconds, 3 seconds, or you can do continuous. So they have some weird, like, yeah, it says right here, you can choose from a mode where you can record for 2, 5, 15, or 60 seconds, or you can just do a normal recording mode.
Well, why? I don't understand. If you wanted to do 15 seconds, why wouldn't you just start and then stop 15 seconds in?
I guess maybe since you can't edit the video, this is like, okay, set it for 15 seconds, put it on your desk, and then stand in front of it and dance or something until the 15 seconds is over.
Maybe someone told them they had to have like
five. Oh, I guess, yeah, you wouldn't be able to edit it easily, would you? Because once you got it off the 3DS and into something like iMovie,
it wouldn't be 3D anymore.
Yeah, I don't know how you would edit it. Yeah, good point. Yeah.
Right, so I think that's their way of just like setting up a timer and then, like, and then, yeah, you're just standing in front of it and doing something.
Someone told them they had to have like five modes, so they just came up with random second time limits.
Well, that's 2 seconds? True. Who's going to record for 2 seconds? I'll take a photo.
Me, every day.
it's like Twitter for 3D video. And apparently you can record up to 10 minutes of video. I'm kind of curious how much storage space that's going to take. I know these are really awful cameras, so I can't find them that much.
I was going to say, you guys said you took a good handful of 3D pictures. I took one, and I was like, oh, this is ugly as shit, and then I never took a 3D picture again.
The 3D photos look good on the 3DS, but if you take them off, they're hideous.
Yeah. They haven't said anything about whether or not we'll be able to share the video with anybody, or if this is a thing where you're going to mail your 3DS to your friends, and they can look at your video, and then they'll mail it back. But... yeah, that was one of the announcements from that press event. The other one, there's a whole slew of new eShop apps coming. There's some kind of a weird games called Freaky Forms, Your Creations, Alive, which is also known as Picture Lives in North America, I think.
God.
It's some sort of a, you create monsters and you bring them to life, and it's going to come out for $7. I don't really care.
$7?
$7. It's an art-based exploration
game. Have they learned anything from the App Store? I don't think there's almost any apps that are over $5 on my iPhone.
Yeah.
It better be really damn good, and it better have iPad support if I'm paying more than $5.
It's a universal app. It also works on your Wii.
Exactly. I was going to say, yeah, it'll be Wii U compatible. You can play it on the TV.
That would be a smart move, so it probably won't happen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely not. At least not for 15 years.
And then there's some sort of a 3D tower defense game called Dylan's Rolling Western, which does not sound like something I want to play. There is a game called Pushmo, which is like a puzzle platformer. There's 250 3D mazes. Yeah, no thanks. I guess. I mean, it could be okay. I don't know. It's called Pullbox in the PAL regions. Sounds like a whole bunch of those puzzles like in Zelda where you push a crate along the floor.
Oh, those are the worst.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
They're so slow. Oh.
The fourth the fourth app they detailed is actually one that I care about, and that's the one that lets you send messages to your friends.
And that one's free, right?
Yeah, it's called Swapnote. Or
it's
actually,
it should have been built into the system.
In PAL, it's called Nintendo Letterbox. It's going to allow handwritten messages in 3D as well as picture and video attachments. So that's interesting, actually, because in the video story we posted that, there's no information on how to share the video. But
I
on
guess
the
that's it.
eShop story we wrote, they say that you can trade video on this.
Look at that. Breaking news.
Swap note. Breaking news. Our two stories on the website contradict each other.
Is there a way... is there going to be a way to reorganize the friends list in this system update? Is it going to fix the friends list so all of my online friends show at the top, which Xbox Live has been doing for, like, I don't know, 10 years?
I didn't see anything like that, but it wouldn't surprise me if they snuck in some other enhancements.
I mean, how do you miss that? If you're going to make a friends list and you're going to let you have a couple hundred people on your – or 100 people on your friends list, I don't want it to scroll through the friends list in the order I put the people in, which is not any real order, to find out who's online and who's not.
The problem with that, though, is it doesn't matter right now because you can't do anything with them online, so it's not like it matters who's online.
That's true.
Yeah, what you're saying will only matter when there's a reason to look and see who's online.
What I need to do is spend 30 seconds looking at the Xbox Live interface and say, oh, of course it makes sense to sort things alphabetically, except with all the online people first and then all the offline people after that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
anyway,
I agree.
Letterbox.
I was going to say, I don't have any 3DS friends at all. Maybe in the show notes, I'll put my 3DS friend code. Maybe
definitely.
Some listener friends.
I have like 30 or 40 people on there, all from the site, like from the forums.
Oh, man, yeah, I don't have anyone. Yeah, I'm going to get
have
some
about
friends.
A dozen.
But once again, I might as well have zero, because what does it matter right now?
Right, you just look and say,
well, it'll matter
for
Mario Kart, because they're adding that.
Yes, that'll be a big deal.
Play thing, so we can all be part of Clan NWR on Mario Kart or whatever.
Absolutely.
Finally.
So, Swapnote's coming out in December. It'll be a free app, so look for that. Next up on the 3DS hit list, they announced that Hulu Plus is coming to 3DS and Wii, actually, by the end of the year. For those of you unfamiliar, which I can't fathom as very many of you if you spend any time at all on the internet, Hulu Plus is a subscription-based version of Hulu.com, which is a streaming video site. This may not be probably isn't very prevalent outside the States. So
Hulu just started in Japan this month.
Do you know if the content library is the same?
I don't think it's the same, and they're getting a PS3 app by the end of the year.
Okay. So basically, here's the deal with Hulu Plus. We got a letter from Adolf Vega about this. He wanted to know more about what Hulu Plus was and how it would work on 3DS and Wii. I've actually been a Hulu Plus subscriber since the very beginning. I use it on my PS3 fairly often. And the way it works is this. Hulu Plus is a very misleading name for the service, because the word plus indicates that it contains all of the regular Hulu and then more. But really what happens is Hulu.com is the website you go to for this massive array of streaming content, and then some of it is available via Hulu Plus.
Most of it.
No.
Except, well, it depends on the channel.
Like,
really?
I think about half of the shows that I've subscribed to are not available on Hulu Plus.
Okay, most of the shows I subscribe to are available on Hulu Plus. I've been a Hulu Plus member since this summer when I cut the cord and dropped cable.
Two notable exceptions to the Hulu Plus are Community and Chuck. Both of those shows are not available on Hulu Plus. And basically, all that really means is that Hulu Plus is what you need to watch this, to watch any of Hulu's content on a mobile device or on your television via a native app like the Hulu Plus app for PS3, or in this case, the Hulu Plus app for Wii and 3DS. So basically, it's sort of like a Venn diagram. There's some content that's exclusive to Hulu Plus, and that's largely back catalogs of current running shows.
Right.
Like if you want to watch all of Lost, that's like except for maybe like the last five episodes that aired.
Yeah, it's usually like the last five episodes that aired, or everything from the current season or something is available.
On the website.
But then if you're a Plus subscriber, you get back catalog access.
And if you're a Plus subscriber, you get access on the web and on your devices. If you're not a Plus subscriber, you can only watch on the web. And so it's weird. There's some content that you can't get on the devices, even though it's available free on the web. There are, of course, ways around that if you're savvy. But
yeah, it's so retarded. Like, the whole idea, and I don't want to turn this into, like, a media needs to be free, like, soapbox, but if I can put my laptop on my bed and watch an episode of Community, why the fuck can't I do it on my iPad? They're both devices. The iPad is essentially a computer, but because someone says so, this one show can only be watched on a computer in the traditional sense of the word. It's so retarded.
Well, right, I don't get who negotiated the rights and like why there's a separate, basically two checkboxes, and it's like computer only or like all devices.
It's the media companies struggling to try and maintain control over a market they had absolute control over of about a decade ago, and now they have no fucking control over it, and they're scrambling like a bunch of retards to try and maintain any. It's the same thing that happened to the record industry.
Yeah.
Like, they thought they could go on and be a 900-pound gorilla for the rest of their lives, and then they realized, oh no, the internet's going to fucking ruin all of that. But they realized it way too late. The TV guys have realized it a little sooner, but they're still idiots. Like, why am I only allowed to watch things on one device? It doesn't make any sense at all. Like, when you really think about it, it doesn't make any sense at all.
Right. I mean, what's better for them, to have it, you know, universal across all Hulu platforms with commercials, or just make me download it on a torrent?
And one even stupider thing is
to stream to my PS3. Because
I can plug my computer into my TV and watch Community on my TV on Hulu.
Right.
But I can't plug my PlayStation into my TV and watch Community. Like, who cares what device it's going through? It's still on my fucking television.
No argument here. I mean, there's some other complaints about Hulu Plus that people have had, like the fact that you're paying the same price for Hulu that you're paying for Netflix, but Netflix doesn't have. See, Netflix is inherently based off of the DVD, whereas Hulu is inherently based off of the television broadcast. Right. So you don't have any commercials on Netflix. You're going to have commercials, like, usually two before the show starts and then two per commercial break on Hulu.
Yeah, but at most, you get a minute of ads. And it seems to vary, I've noticed, that if you're watching on your TV, you're probably going to get two 30-second ads or maybe a 30 and a 15. If I watch on my iPhone, I usually get one 15-second ad. Like, it seems that the smaller the screen, the shorter the ads are. Like, the iPad will get, like, one 30-second ad, and the iPhone will get one 15-second ad, and the PlayStation will get two 30-second or a 30 and a 15, or maybe sometimes, if I'm lucky, two 15-second ads.
So the 3DS should be right around that 15-second mark, then.
I would imagine so. I guess it kind of makes sense, because, you know, if you're on the go with a phone, obviously you probably don't have as much time for ads or something. Personally, I don't mind paying $8 a month and getting ads. I was paying $50 for cable, and I got a shitload of ads.
That's the thing is, I've heard a lot of people say that Hulu Plus isn't worth the price because they have commercials or because the content library isn't quite there yet. But at the end of the day, it just depends on what you're watching. Like, when I started trying to figure out what I wanted to do for my entertainment, I started saying, okay, well, 90% of what I want to watch is available via either Hulu and or Netflix. If I subscribe to both, I'm paying about $20 a month max. And that's $30 to $40 a month cheaper than my monthly cable bill.
Yeah, that's what I do. And then, like, one show that you unfortunately, like, cannot get on Hulu, they don't have any BBC America content, so I can't watch Doctor Who. But Doctor Who, $17 for an iTunes season pass, I'd gladly pay for that.
Well, and all the Doctor Who backlog is on Netflix, too.
Yeah, all the backlog is, but I'm not going to wait.
Yep, I did the same thing for Mad Men last year. I paid $30 for a Mad Men season pass. Totally okay with that.
Yeah.
Mad Men's a great show. I'm willing to pay for it. I mean, I'm at the point now where I'm not buying many DVDs either, so it's not like I'm going to spend $30 on it now from iTunes and then buy it again on DVD, most likely. So,
it should probably be the last thing we say so we don't go on forever, but the big thing that I realized when I was like at least 75% of what I watch on cable is Comedy Central, and basically everything that's on Comedy Central is on Hulu. It just shows up 21 days late. So, like, the new season of South Park started 3 weeks ago. The first episode for this half of the season, the first episode showed up on Hulu this morning.
Yep.
And then, except for Daily Show and Colbert, which show up the day after.
Which is nice.
I'm very curious to see if
$8 for Comedy Central alone I would pay a month. So,
I'm very curious to see if the new Beavis and Butthead ends up on Hulu, because I really want to watch that.
They have other MTV content, so...
I think it would. I guess just in closing, I mean, you guys seem pretty high on Hulu Plus, but I tried a trial for a while, and, I mean, I pay for cable, especially, I mean, to watch hockey and things like that, so, like, with sporting events, so I am not going to cancel cable, so...
You can now get hockey on the Apple TV. You can get NHL Center Ice on it, like, as of last week.
Yeah, but you have to pay for Center. I don't know.
Yeah,
I
but mean, then you're not paying for cable, as you know.
Yeah, but then I also think with Center Ice, there's local blackouts, so I don't think I can watch local games.
Yeah, I don't know how it works with the sports things.
I'm pretty sure that's the case. So I would just say that if you have cable and you're not going to cancel your cable, I don't see a reason for Hulu Plus, especially if you have Netflix as well.
Especially if you have a DVR, because really what Hulu Plus does very well is it replaces your DVR.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Not only did I cancel my like $40 a month cable contract, I was paying $20-something bucks a month to TiVo.
Oh,
so
okay.
I saved a crap load of money.
And, I'm not going to lie.
And I still get my sports because ESPN streams a lot of college football.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty much all you watch.
Yeah, it's on my Xbox.
See, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I use Hulu Plus and Netflix to basically make up for my cable bill, but I also have a few less than legitimate means helping me out there, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Google Play On.
I've always been doing that for HBO shows.
Anyway, we'll go ahead and move on. I guess one thing I wanted to touch on before we move on from Hulu Plus and is There was some question from Adolf Ega about how it might work, and I'll tell you right now, it'll work the exact same way it works on my PS3, which means everything is streamed. You're not going to be downloading or saving any content, any videos. It's all just going to come the same way Netflix works on 3DS and Netflix works on Wii. It'll be Hulu Plus. You'll pull the library of videos and you'll stream it directly to your device. And when you're done streaming the video, you're done.
And you know, it's going to be a real godsend for like kids, like at a hotel
definitely. With
Wi-Fi.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah. No, that'll definitely be good. And speaking of, it's not in our show notes, but speaking of saving videos, how about the announcement that now you can like save, download and save videos from Nintendo for like $2 or whatever to your 3DS SD
like
card
from the video channel or
oh, yeah. No,
it's like they're trying to monetize YouTube 4 years too late.
or is it exclusive content? Like you own it and you're doing it like iTunes does.
Yeah, it's like that. You're being able to save because the way the Nintendo video works right now is they just kind of like every couple of days something new pops up and then something else will go away and it just kind of comes and goes over time.
So now
whether or not
for
you're paying attention
$2
to it.
$2. Jesus.
But if you want to keep a video now, you can pay $2 to keep
it. Why do they not have any 99-cent, like the lowest price on the eShop is $2 too? Why is nothing a dollar?
Because they don't want to devalue their content.
Don't they realize that 99 cents is a psychological sales point?
What they don't realize is other people have already devalued their content for them.
Yeah, like why would
I buy... what you guys aren't realizing is these videos are in 3D.
Yeah. I mean, if it's like a television episode, I'll pay...
you got on your iPhone.
That's what iTunes charges, $2 for an episode of a TV show. So if it's like a whole TV show, sure, I'd pay that for 3D content. But it'd have to be bare minimum 15 minutes.
Nah, you're not getting that.
Yeah, I know.
Well, let's move on.
I thought that was silly.
Let's move on to the next bit of news. We have some new StreetPass Mi Plaza features are coming. They're going to put in a map that shows you where your StreetPass Mi's are at. That's kind of great. They're going to have a sequel to that Find Mi RPG, so that'll be kind of cool. If you've already beaten Find Mi, it'll just unlock the sequel, I guess. So you have to beat the first one first. So it's called Find Mi 2. I've not spent any time in the Find Me RPG. Have you guys?
Yeah, I had to get that Metroid hat.
See, I only have 3 street passes to my name, so.
Well, but you can just buy the heroes with all the
coins. That's true. Yeah, you can do that.
That's what I did. And I finally got the last puzzle. I was at Disney World last week, and I brought my 3DS, and I got about, like, 5 or 6 passes, or like 6 or 7 street passes each day at Disney World.
Oh, excellent.
That's awesome.
I got the last puzzle. The new Super Mario Bros. Wii puzzle was the last one I needed, and I had like hundreds of coins. So as soon as I got the puzzle, I just bought the rest of the pieces.
How many puzzles are there?
5 or 6. There's Mario and Bowser, Mario and Luigi, New Super Mario Bros.
Pikmin,
Mario and Yoshi. Wait, no, maybe the Mario Bowser one has Luigi with it.
Metroid Other M and Pikmin.
Yeah, there's the Zelda one.
Okay, I've gotten
Metroid
and Kirby.
One?
There's Kirby also.
Yes, there is.
Weird. And Pikmin?
So
wow,
I'm
surprised.
There's 3 Mario ones, Zelda, Metroid, Pikmin, and Kirby. So that's 7.
Well, they're going to add some new ones with this November update. It's going to have Donkey Kong Country Returns is one of them, and they haven't really said much else, but they'll be adding new puzzles. I still only have the 3 that I have gotten so far. I've finished them all, but...
Yeah, it's annoying. There's no way to, like... buy a new puzzle. The only way to get it is through street passes. You think, like, let me drop 100 coins and at least get a brand new puzzle if I can't do anything else.
Sure.
But no.
Moving on, there's a new pink 3DS coming to Australia. I believe it's called Lavender Pink.
I like that white one they've been showing off.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That white one looks excellent.
Oh, I wish if I didn't have a 3DS, I'd buy that black and white one in a heartbeat. I love that two-tone look.
Anyway, the 3DS, the pink one, is coming to Australia on November 17th. I think it's called Misty Pink in Japan, but it's called Lavender Pink, I believe, in the States. Or not in the States,
Lavender Pink, what is that? That's like saying orange.
Let's
purple.
Make sure I got that right, shall we?
I think you're right, but yeah, that's a very bizarre
Lavender
name.
And pink are not the same
yes,
color.
Yes, it is
They're
called Lavender
different.
Pink.
That's so great.
Yeah, well, the Cosmo's
Lavender
only black,
is purple.
So.
Like, it's a shade of purple.
Right.
So that's, yeah.
Purple pink.
We got it. They announced the name of the new Circle Pad attachment in North America, and it's going to be Circle Pad Pro. Or maybe they didn't announce it, but they filed the trademark for Circle Pad Pro, so... So when you're buying your giant attachment,
Circle
that's
Pad Pro,
it'll be
right. So, so now you can be an ambassador and a pro.
And a professional.
Yeah.
They've also announced that Resident Evil Revelations is going to support that whole thing. So it's going to be, I think it's going to be pretty widely adopted amongst the big gamer games that are
If they're smart,
the
they'll
system.
Do a bundle where it comes with a game. Like a,
I agree.
Like Nintendo will make a game that uses it and then bundle it.
And then... last but not least, there's a couple of new 3D classics. There's Kid Icarus and Kirby's Adventure. Neither of those have actually been confirmed for the States yet, or for North America. I shouldn't say the States, for our Canadian friends. Neither of them have been confirmed for North America, but Kirby is confirmed for Europe, and the way it's gone so far, things that have been confirmed for Europe have shown up here about the same time. So I would expect Kirby will be the very next 3D classic, which is a great one. That's one I may
that's
actually
That's one I think I
buy.
May get, yeah.
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 It's like a real game.
Because I've never bought Kirby's Adventure on any other of their download services. I never paid for it on Virtual Console, and it's a great game.
And it's going to be, that's a game where it's not a shmup, it's like it's a platformer. We haven't seen that in 3D at all yet. I'm really interested to see how they did that in 3D.
Yeah. And it's a game that has a lot of like design to it. Like it's not just the same scrolling backgrounds over and over again. Yeah. There's a lot to see in a 3D classic for that game, so.
Kid Icarus, maybe if it didn't suck.
Kid Icarus, they've announced for Japan, I think, only so far. I'm sure it'll probably come elsewhere eventually. But in Japan, actually, you can get it free from Club Nintendo. So there's that. I actually like Kid Icarus quite a bit, but I've also never really tried to play through it since I was 10. So I liked it a lot when I was 10. I beat the game quite a bit when I was 10.
Wow.
But I probably had the Game Genie or something going on. I really don't recall. But I remember really liking the game, probably because it was so frustrating I never tried to play it without the Game Genie. I don't really remember, but that's probably what happened. That's all we got for 3DS news. There's a couple of bits of Wii news out there. They've announced a new title in Japan called Kick-A-Trick, and they haven't said much of anything about it other than that the theme of the game is sound. So
okay.
They haven't announced really much else of anything about that.
Hopefully that means the Rhythm Heaven team is doing it.
What it does mean is that there's a new Wii title coming out, and that's kind of already, in and of itself, a little bit surprising. They haven't exactly announced a lot of new Wii titles lately. I think it's supposed to be out before the end of the year, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, we're not going to get it anyway.
January 19th, actually. Not the words on the front of the box apparently say differentiate mysterious sounds. So there you go. It's some sort of a weird Simon Says game. I don't know.
I hope it uses the amazing speaker in the Wii remote.
Oh God! You know the best use of that speaker was in Silent Hill because. It sounded like a cell phone, without having to try.
They did that in No More Heroes too. You'd get calls from whatever the chick's name was before you'd fight the bosses, and it worked because
That's
it was
excellent.
Grainy and awful and cut out.
That's excellent. And then a couple of games that are announced that aren't coming to Wii, at least not yet. Toki Tori 2 is coming out for Steam sometime, I believe, next year. This, of course, is a game that was originally developed. I think like a decade ago I read, and it's been released, the first Toki Tori was released a million years ago, on a million different systems about over the last 10 years, including iOS, WiiWare, and Steam, and probably Xbox Live Arcade, I'm not really sure.
It started on Game Boy though, didn't it?
I believe it did. It's kind of a fun little puzzle game, it's nothing all that special, but it was fun, it was colorful, had a real Nintendo feel to it, and I think it did pretty well on WiiWare. They've announced a sequel, and they haven't said where it's coming yet, but my best bet is it'll end up on some Nintendo platform, either 3DS, Wii U, or maybe even Wii. But right now, it's just confirmed for Steam. And then, in other news, of things not coming to Wii, yet, is BitTrip Runner 2 has officially been announced by the team that did BitTrip Runner. Except it's not called BitTrip Runner 2, it's just called Runner 2. It's got a completely different art style, and it's coming to the HD systems, because the Wii U is apparently just not quite powerful enough to run it.
The Wii is not powerful enough to run it.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. It may come to the Wii U. They kind of just were, I don't know, quiet on that, but it'll be coming out for Xbox and PlayStation, I think, soon. I'm not sure when. They just launched a blog for it, and they showed some of the art, and the art looks way different. Like, the runner looks weird. realistic. It's got kind of like a realistic, but not realistic, just like very stylized, artsy, I don't know, very detailed, let's put it that way. He looked like, I can't even describe him. It just looked weird. Check it out. Google Runner 2. I'm sure you'll find the website pretty quick there. So that's all the Wii news we got. There's one other piece of news we're going to talk about before we running over on our time limit here. But so there's been a rumor that was floating around today. It was posted by Andrea Tsang, who got it from the Japanese newspaper Nikkei. I'm not sure how you pronounce that. Nikkei, maybe. They're going to announce tomorrow on October 27th, and maybe this will be false by then. This is only a rumor. Maybe it'll be true by then, by the time you're listening to this, that they've lost, in the period from April to September 2011, 100 billion yen, which is 45 billion yen more than they projected. Wow.
So twice, like twice as much as
yeah,
they projected.
About twice as much as they projected. And apparently it's largely due to the strength of the yen against the euro. That accounts for $40 billion of that 100 billion. By the way, that 100 billion yen is approximately 1.31 billion United States dollars. That's just for a company that was so successful for so long. Like yep. no wonder that all the top executives at the company were so incredibly forward with their apologetic tone.
Right.
Around the time of the 3DS price drop, like, wow, this is really bleak. I mean, it's hard to really take too much away from this, because if it is, like, largely based on the financial markets, but what it does tell you is that this is immediately after a console launch. That does not say much for the strength of that console.
Yeah.
And it's starting to, for the first time in my mind, I'm starting to have a real legitimate concern for the long-term viability of the 3DS. Not that I expect them to abandon it, but I'm starting to get worried about what's going to happen. Like, is my 3DS going to really matter in a couple years? Like, the one that I bought at launch, is it going to be a thing that I'm going to use for 5 years? Or
probably not. I kind of wanted to write a feature about it, but it's becoming a little more apparent to me. I feel like the 3DS is going to end up being sort of like how the PSP was. I guess last generation, if you want to call it that, although the PSP is still around, where there's lots of different iterations, and, you know, I mean, there's games for it, and people like it, but it's nowhere near the success the DS was.
Yeah.
Or even, you know, like Game Boy or Game Boy Advance.
Having used the system for a while, what do you guys think about the actual physical hardware on the thing?
It's good. Like, there's no problems with the hardware, in my opinion.
I feel like the hardware feels kind of cobbled together. Like, I'm starting, I don't know, it's kind of hard to explain, but I don't feel like there was a very, like, consistent design philosophy behind the look and feel of the actual hardware itself. Like, part of them really, really wanted to stick as closely as they could to the existing DS model. But
right.
I don't like the shiny coating.
Oh yeah, I think the shiny's ugly. I think they'll go back to like matte eventually.
Like, and then, compared to like the DS Lite and the DSi, which both felt very, I don't know, the design for both of those handhelds felt felt consistent. Like everything on throughout the entire device felt like it was made by the same person or the same philosophy.
Right.
The 3DS, like, I feel like parts of the handheld don't match up well with other parts of the handheld.
I mean, I hate like the whole form factor. I mean, I hate the way it feels in my hands when I have to play games that use the L or the R trigger or shoulder button.
Those buttons they don't feel well attached. Is that a good way of saying it?
Yeah, and I mean, I've mentioned it numerous times, but when I have to use those and the circle pad consistently, like, my hands just begin to cramp up. It's like it's too small. And I agree with you. I think they try too hard to just stick to the same, you know, form factor of the DS. I don't know that it suits a system where you're using that many more buttons.
I feel like the way I feel when I look at the 3DS is like the guy who was in charge, like the guy who was in charge of the team that designed the physical look of the hardware was fired like 3/4 of the way through development, and they brought someone else in who didn't know what he was doing.
The two-toneness is a little weird, but other than that, I mean, I think it feels pretty fully formed.
I don't know. It's hard to really put words to what I'm even trying to explain. I don't get that same feeling when I look at it that I got when I looked at the DS Lite and the DSi, that this is a well-designed piece of hardware. And maybe I'm projecting that based on the way the thing's performed so far in the market. I don't know. But
it doesn't feel quite as sturdy as the
absolutely
the DS,
it doesn't.
The DS Lite and the DSi felt like, I mean, that top screen is kind of wobbly when you open it a little bit. And
I've had problems with my particular unit. Like, I have a little bit, I have what appears to be a smudge inside the screen on my top screen. I've had my L button stop working like 2 or 3 times, and then it kind of comes back on a few days later or a few hours later, depending on how much I mess with it.
You kind of got a janky one.
Yeah,
right there,
so, but I mean, that's part of it. Maybe that's part of it, too. It gets dusty really, really, really quickly, and that's part of the, you know, the fact that it's shiny, but I don't know. I'm trying not to complain too much, and I'm failing at that because I am complaining a lot right now. But
I don't know. I read
a few blog posts because of this $100 billion loss. I read a couple of blog posts that sort of wax philosophical on the longevity of the handheld and what the future holds for the company, and I'm starting to get a little bit concerned that it's not all just doomsday talk that has no grounding in reality. Because, you know, every company that was really successful thought they were invincible for a while after they were very successful, because all their business decisions had been very well received for a while there, and, you know.
Yeah, but I wouldn't worry too much about it. I mean, Nintendo's already kind of come back from that before. I mean, if you look at the N64 and the GameCube, people, I guess, except for their handheld devices, kind of thought they were out of the console market. You know, like, I don't think anyone had much faith in Nintendo, but then the Wii came out and it was a huge success. And I mean, that came from them adapting and going with a different audience and whole different I don't know, like, idea and a whole different
Well, it seems like the 3DS is definitely aimed at, like, the traditional Nintendo fan, but they have spent the last 5 years saying they don't want anything to do with that fan.
Well, right, and meanwhile, the system's alienated all the casual fans they've gotten from just the DS. It's so bizarre that they went back to
it. It would be great if it would probably be doing amazingly well if it was released 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But it's just weird. The 3DS is just, I don't know. I don't know the philosophy behind it. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit in with the Nintendo we knew a year ago. You know, it's very odd.
You know what else doesn't fit in with that strategy is the Wii U.
I don't know.
Nothing that they've really done in the past 12 months has given me an incredible amount of confidence about people making the decisions. Like, it just doesn't feel like, and I don't know. I mean, I shouldn't say too much because I feel like I'm questioning the decisions of people who have a proven track record, and I have no right to do it, but here I am, I guess. I don't know. I hope I'm wrong, but at this point, I don't really care if I'm wrong or not. I own the stupid product, so I'm stuck with it.
There you go.
Well, that's all the news we got for this week, so let's wrap it up, I guess.
Yeah, let's maybe in a segment in the future we'll discuss Nintendo's dark future.
Next week, Nintendo announces they're going out of the console business and going third party.
Designing microwaves.
All right, well, welcome to this segment of Connectivity, and I'm joined by our European correspondent, Dan Koopman. Dan, how you doing?
I'm pretty good tonight, thank you.
Good. It's funny, I just recorded a segment with Danny in Japan, and it was like, I think it was like 2 in the morning when he recorded, and now we're recording at midnight for you. I feel kind of bad for all you non-Americans making you guys stay up late.
Hey, it's just you saying non-Americans. It's just us living in different parts of the world and enjoying ourselves.
There you go. And me just being rude and making you stay up rather than me get up early.
Yeah, although my schedule is usually that I'm still awake till like 2, so it's no worry, really.
All right, well, perfect. So I've got Dan here because he had the great pleasure of playing a whole bunch of Super Mario 3D Land just a few days ago.
It was a Monday, and I played through the entirety of the game. No joke.
Wow.
What basically happened was I was actually intended to play the newest build of The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword, which, surprisingly enough, both of those two games come out on the same day in Europe. So, yeah, that's good planning.
Yeah, why didn't they spread that out? That's so weird.
I have no idea. It comes out November... Super Mario 3D Land comes out on the 3rd in Japan, the 10th in America, and the 18th in Europe. So... yeah.
Wow. You're gonna have a busy day.
Yeah. But the thing is, though, I was there to play Zelda, but the PR person was there. Well, we have this new build of Super Mario 3D Land, which is actually the full game. Do you want to play it? I was looking at Zelda. I was looking at Mario. I was saying, give me Mario. No offense to Zelda fans. I know it's the 25th anniversary. I'm so, so sorry. But if I have to look at platforming and action-adventure, look at both sides and look, I will go with the platforming one. Thank you.
There you go. Well, especially when you have the full game. I mean, you probably only get to play so much of Zelda.
Yeah.
But if you get to play the whole Mario, like, why not?
Yeah.
So I guess for anyone who doesn't know, you know, this is the Dan said here, it's coming out in November in every region then.
Yeah.
And it's developed by the same team who's worked on Mario Galaxy and Mario Galaxy 2. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's sort of a blend between 2D Mario and the latest 3D Marios.
Oh, absolutely. There's more 3D than 2D, though.
Okay.
And that's not necessarily a bad thing. And another thing that I've noticed, it leans more towards inspiration from the Mario Galaxy games, although it takes the regular Mario approach, so no gravity involvement whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways it makes it better for it, but there are certainly some... It's less focused, on, for example, on the suits, but more on the basic platforming of Mario, which I personally really like. It makes it really nice for a handheld experience, because you don't want to make it too complex or too overcomplicated.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and I guess that's one thing people maybe were kind of, you know, worried about in the beginning, is that this would basically be just Mario Galaxy for the 3DS. But it sounds like it's, you know, it is inspired by that, but it sounds like it's, you know, it's its own Mario game.
Yeah. But since it's this one actually kind of collides with my preview article, which hopefully should come on Thursday when also my embargo ends, or maybe after. I can reveal some things, and maybe it's interesting to talk about that first, because I have a sheet here, which is my embargo sheet for actually preview material.
Okay.
And I'm actually allowed from that point on to talk about some very interesting things.
Okay, great. You know, it's actually kind of funny. I've kind of been keeping myself in the dark about this game. Like, I didn't want to know too much about it since it's coming out so soon. But here I am hosting the segment where you're going to just pretty much reveal a lot. But that's okay. I'll suck it up.
Okay. So we're going to start with a few big ones, because this will happen after the game is finished. So what will happen is that you will unlock the first of 8 bonus worlds.
Okay.
So that makes in total the game 16 worlds.
Oh wow.
And these harder challenge worlds are based with harder challenges, time attacks, and even new levels. So there's a mix of everything and thrown in between. I can talk about every launch challenge level in detail, I'm afraid, but I can tell you, for example, that you will see a return of Cosmic Mario from the Mario Galaxy games.
Mm-hmm.
And you will have the opportunity to unlock Luigi as a playable character.
Okay, great. I was hoping that was the case.
Yeah. And you will see the return, and I'm not going to tell you where it happens or how it happens, but you will see the return of Tanuki Statue Mario.
Oh, nice. So you can turn into the statue.
Yeah.
At some point.
I'm not allowed to talk in detail about how it happens or where you can find him, but he is unlockable in the bonus worlds.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
So these bonus worlds sound like they're almost like the challenge comets from Mario Galaxy, but instead of just randomly appearing, they're just all in their own worlds.
It's not like World S, where they were just like in a gigantic circle where you had to collect those coins.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to collect coins, and those are like 3 per level. And in every level available, basically. But to get to the... Because even the bonus worlds have just a sort of a boss time attack level.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of it, you need to collect a certain amount of star coins to get to that bonus level. And by finishing the boss level, you get to the next bonus world.
Okay.
Yeah. It doesn't mean that I have seen every bonus world in this game, because the later ones... I will just say blatantly, from world 2 it becomes already really tough. Like, these are really hard challenges. But the good thing about those bonus worlds is that you can do these at your own leisure. So you don't have to take the same path that you would do in the normal game, that you have to play level after level after level. You can actually skip levels and come back to them later.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So that's basically what you get after finishing the game, which is a lot. And it's much bigger than people even might expect.
Mm-hmm.
That said, though, I think there are some simple yet effective issues with the game. Like, I found the boss battles through the game up to the final, so in worlds 1-7,
mm-hmm.
they weren't that impressive. The reason
I was gonna say, in terms of difficulty or just design,
they used them again. Like, they used them multiple times, the same 3 bosses.
Oh, okay.
Which is a bit of a downer for me. Like, the levels up to them are pretty fun. Like,
mm-hmm.
they are one of the most interesting ends of Mario worlds I've ever played.
Mm-hmm.
But the payoff, like the bosses, are very disappointing.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if it's just this kind of team in general or just the approach they've taken, but I kind of felt the same way even in the Galaxy games. I always felt like the levels were great, but I always thought the bosses were just, you know, sort of easy and not very challenging.
But here is not really the thing that they're not easy or challenging. It depends really on the player in these instances. But the thing is that they're kind of repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
And you will see bosses maybe twice or even 3 times, which is rather a disappointment for the rest very fun Mario game.
Right. Do they change at all, or is it just pretty much the same boss fight like 3 times?
They change it up a little by changing up the environments.
Okay.
But I will leave it at that, and I think you already know 2 of them, which are the fake Bowser and the spinning Koopa.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a 3rd one, which I'm not leave that one. I'm thinking I'm not gonna talk about that one.
Okay, that's fine.
I have to say the final, again, I'm not going to reveal anything about the final boss in the game. But it's fantastic. It feels very Mario Galaxy-like, and that for a handheld experience is amazing. I never felt so fulfilled after completing an ending, because I would tell you, the ending boss fight against Bowser is pretty tough.
Okay.
Yeah. And you will fail the first time, no question, because you will go the wrong way, and it will take a very different approach than you might expect. But it was a lot of fun.
Okay.
And that's my main thing of it. I would never have completed the game in one day if it wasn't this much of fun.
Well, I was going to ask. I mean, even loving Mario, I would imagine it had to have been hard to just sit and play through the whole game in one sitting without getting sick of it. But it sounds like you're saying, I mean, it was so much fun that it was no problem at all.
For me, it wasn't a curse at all. It wasn't. I have this had multiple times where I just get sick of a game after playing just an hour or two. I never get enough of Mario. And I played Mario that day for, let's say, 10 hours.
Wow.
and that's not only just the regular game, that's also the bonus content, and we're playing a few of my favorite levels.
Mm-hmm.
And again, some of my favorite levels, I think I like them because they're more expanded versions of what we saw, for example, Mario Galaxy 2. Like, there is a first... Have you completed Mario Galaxy 2?
Yes, but it's been a little while since I've played it. But I did play through the whole thing,
okay.
Yeah.
You know that there was, like, a rhythmic block challenge in the game where the blocks would change every second.
Oh, yeah. Where some would disappear and when some would appear, yeah.
Yeah. That challenge is back, but now it has three colors and it becomes a bit more harder.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, and there's even a challenge level based around that. So there's a normal, slightly harder level and a challenge level which is really rough.
In the challenge level, is it just faster or did they even throw in like another color?
You have just one brief second to do it in the challenge level.
Oh, wow.
It's all about your momentum.
Right.
And even these challenge levels have these medals, and you have to collect them to get to also to these bonus worlds. So you have to, and the thing is, you also have to collect them for the normal game, because there, in each world, there is a bonus level to collect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, maybe people saw this in the trailers, but there was this... moving platform where there were two switches on the other side, and with that you would go left and right through the level on these rails.
Okay.
There's basically a whole challenge level based around this simple mechanic. And that actually was in the early parts of the game, and that was the first level I had really big problems with. And with the few mechanics they have, with the few suits they have, they do a lot. Like with the propeller Mario... how do you call it, actually? I don't know. Is it a body part that Mario wears? I'm not sure how to call it. But with the propeller, there is actually a level where the platforms are so far apart that you really have to use the 3D to look at your distance and time, for example, your jumps on a couple of Goombas. And when mm-hmm. you do that, you will fail very miserably. Which is not fun.
No, I wouldn't think so. So yeah,
that was one more of the frustrating levels of the game as well.
Well, that was something I was going to ask you about too. In terms of just technically playing the game, it was how it felt in your hands and how the 3D was implemented.
The 3D, I would say this about it. You know how Star Fox 64 3D is now claimed to be the one with the best 3D?
Right, it's sort of the best example of what the 3D can do, yeah.
Super Mario 3D Land takes it and puts a spin around it that's more enjoyable and is actually required for some puzzles. So they actually give the idea of 3D gaming and the idea of general more depth than it actually needs to be, but it makes it so much more fun.
Okay, so yeah, it sounds like it's sort of central to the gameplay then, that it's important.
And this is again, as well, I'm not fond of the 3D. I usually put it off because I don't think, for most games I've played on the 3DS at this point, it doesn't change too much.
Right, I agree.
But what I've played of Mario 3D Land, I've played it for most of the time actually in 3D.
Okay.
There's just one point where I got so frustrated in a level, which is a later part of the game, so I possibly won't name that. But it got so frustrating to me that I thought, maybe I should just put the 2D off, and in the end it really didn't do anything for me, so I put the 3D back on and actually eventually finished the level. So there you go. And maybe that's another thing, just like similar to New Super Mario Bros. Wii and maybe the first Galaxy and to some extent Mario Galaxy 2, the normal part of the game is not too challenging. There are some tricky parts, but most people will be able to make it, I'm sure of that. But certainly towards the end, it became a little frustrating.
Right.
Another thing I'm allowed to talk about now, actually, is Boomerang Mario.
Oh, yeah, that just recently came out, yeah.
Yeah, which was recently revealed, I think, on a Japanese website. I'm not sure about that, actually. But I had the chance to play it for the first time. So Mario can just throw one boomerang, and you can attack enemies with it from a distance. You can actually collect star coins with it. It can collect items for you.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
But you can only throw one at a time. It has to come back to you to throw another one.
Okay.
So that's the only tricky part about it. But it becomes really handy to attack enemies from a distance that you actually don't really want to encounter.
One question I had about power-ups in general is, in the Galaxy games, you know, when you picked up a power-up, you had a timer with it, and you basically only used it in that level, and it was really just to sort of solve puzzles. In this game, is it more like traditional Mario's where you pick up a power and you just keep it until you get hit? Like, do you carry it from level to level?
Yeah, it's more of the New Super Mario Bros. Approach, yeah.
Okay, so you do. So if you get the boomerang power, you can keep it from level to level until you get hit.
The only thing that will go away is perhaps the special silver-colored Tanuki power-up, which you will get if you fail a level a couple of times.
Oh, okay.
Which is a pretty interesting power-up because you will still play the level. You can still collect all the star coins and still reveal all the secrets, but you are immune to lava, to fire coming up, to bullet bills coming up and old enemies coming up, which allows you to focus on the platforming and seeing all these secrets rather than making you worry about all the enemies that you encounter in the game. So that's maybe fun for younger players as well.
I was going to say, and you said you get that if you die a few times?
Yeah, like five times, I think. Five times.
Okay, so it is. So it's kind of their, you know, I know Nintendo's big on helping players out who are stuck, so that seems like their way of kind of making levels easier.
I think it's a better way to replace the Super Guide.
Yes,
because you effectively let people play the game still, but at the other hand, you help them just a little bit to continue.
Right, and it makes sense because it lets you focus on the platforming, which is the important part. So, you know, it lets them still get practice and get better at the running and the jumping, which makes all the difference.
Absolutely.
Okay. Oh, well, that's actually really neat then.
Yeah. The final thing I'm allowed to additional review today is how StreetPass works.
Oh, okay.
So through the worlds, there are these secret boxes. There are just a few for the normal game and a few in the bonus worlds. These ones allow you to get items, get coins, and also sometimes even star coins. There was one secret box in the normal game where I got even two, which was pretty nifty. but there is a restriction. You have to collect those items yourself, and there's only 10 seconds on the clock. Mm-hmm. And once the timer is up, that secret box is gone. You can't go back to it anymore. It's gone forever.
Okay.
What StreetPass allows you to do is get an additional secret box. That's the basic gist of it. You get an additional secret box for your collection.
Oh, okay.
Which is, you can save them up so you can use them later, and perhaps in a certain secret situation that you are now the small Mario and you just finished the level, you don't have any power-ups, what should you do? You use the secret box, hopefully get an item, sometimes get something else, maybe just enough coins to get an additional life. But I think it's rather nifty to have in the game.
Okay, so they just sort of... Now, how do they pop up in the levels normally, the secret boxes? You hit a switch and then you have to find it in the 10 seconds you were saying, or...?
No, they are actually on the world map.
Okay.
They are a few spread out the world map. I think 6 or 7, I believe, in total, which is a pretty small amount.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, that's what the secret boxes do. You have one shot, you can do it one time, but after that, it's all depending on you finding people who have Super Mario 3D Land First Street Pass.
Okay, and then that lets you get more of them.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, that's pretty neat.
Also on the world map are the Toad Houses, which, surprisingly enough, don't contain any sort of mini game to play. You just have when you actually walk towards the Toad House, which I find pretty charming, actually, you could say. But next to that, you just walk in the house, collect a power up, and leave again.
Oh, okay, so kind of like in Mario 3, the ones where you would just open a chest and take the item. So there's no matching game anymore. That you get like in New Super Mario Brothers Wii, and there's no like extra life mini game or anything. You just go in and get your item and leave.
Yeah.
Huh. That's weird.
Yeah.
It's not bad, but I'm just surprised. I mean, I guess maybe playing single player, they just thought that might slow things down, or. Maybe that just wouldn't be as fun with just one person. I don't know.
I have no idea. Another thing, people have perhaps seen the little art you see in the intro of Super Mario 3D Land with the picture of Princess Peach being captured. The very cartoony look. Those pictures can actually move, and these can be collected through a special... you can save them to an SD card through a special house... And somewhere on the world map, I think in one of the earlier worlds, there is it unlocks a special Toad House where you can look at these moving pictures, and total there are like 12. And those can be saved to an SD card and view that later in your album as well.
Oh, okay, like your album on the 3DS.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so you get actually one per world. So after you come complete a boss, there's a little cutscene with Mario collecting the letter, which is sometimes very funny to see. And sometimes you see even Princess Peach doing something useful for a change. And otherwise, sometimes others, it's just very, very lovely and charming. It's you will see something very cool to see in your album for sure.
Okay, cool. Well, yeah, that sounds good. I mean, did you have anything you want to close with or any final thoughts? Or
I think what people should keep in mind for Mario 3D Land, it's bigger than they think, and I just told them. It's not like the normal 8 worlds and you're done with it. It's a full Mario experience like Mario Galaxy and Mario Galaxy 2. So nothing different than very different from the New Super Mario Bros. Approach, and slightly better than the Mario Galaxy approach. And the thing that they expanded on that makes it a bit better, maybe the controls are a bit getting used to, like, you have to get used to the various camera angles. But overall, I would say that this is the 3DS game you should keep in mind.
Okay, so it might be the definitive 3DS game to this point, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, thanks a lot for joining me, Dan. And,
no problem.
Thank you for listening, and we'll be right back.
right, and we're about to start another round of NWR Connectivity Jeopardy. I'm your host and reigning champion, Neil Ronahan. And with me is my lovely co-host, Scott Vanna White Thompson.
Always an honor.
That's the wrong show.
This time. Wrong show.
And our contestants this time, we have Andy Gergen.
What's up?
Mike Sklenz.
Prepare
Zachary Miller. And Pedro Hernandez.
Woohoo!
Jeopardy only has three contestants. We have four. Eat it, Trebek.
We're better than it.
We are hardcore.
So let's kick this into gear with Single Jeopardy. And the categories are potent quotables, he's the boss, furries, and Super Mario RPG.
Ooh. Furries.
Furries. Oh, Jesus.
since Pedro is the guest, he will be able to go first. So, Pedro, pick a category and a numerical value, 100 through 500.
I'll take Super Mario RPG for 100.
All right. The answer is, this possessed doll is actually an alien who crashed through the Star Road. Pedro.
Who is Gino?
That is correct. All right. And Pedro, you have the board. Pick another category.
I think I'm going to regret this, but I'll take furries for 100.
All right. Before the events of Star Fox, the Star Fox team was made up of James McCloud and these two characters. Pedro.
Who are Peppy Hare and Big Man Dengar?
That is correct.
Damn.
Pedro, the board is yours.
Can you repeat the other categories, please?
Potent quotables and he's the boss. So potent quotables are quotes from games and he's the boss are related to male bosses.
Okay, I'll take he's the boss for 100.
All right, Scott, all you?
Yes, that is me. Okay, so for 100. This notable Resident Evil villain has appeared in numerous games and wears totally bitchin' sunglasses. Hey, okay, Mike, go ahead.
Who is Wesker?
Yes, yeah, we'll take it. Albert Wesker, but yeah, that'll work. All right, so that gives you 100. And then the board is yours.
I will take he's the boss for 200.
All right. This mousy character threw bombs and wore sunglasses in Super Mario Bros. 2. All right, Andy.
Who is Wart?
No.
Oh,
shit.
Who is after Andy? Looks like Pedro.
Who is Mouser?
Yes.
I got excited when someone said Mario.
I thought that's what it was, but I didn't want to buzz in. I wasn't sure.
All right. And then, Pedro, the board's yours.
All right. I'll take Furries for 200.
All right. Recent release Solo to Robo, which features anthropomorphic animals out the ass, was published by Nintendo in Europe, XSEED in North America, and this company in Japan.
Ooh.
Zach?
I don't know. Nintendo?
Nope, that is incorrect.
Also, that wasn't in the form of a question.
Oh, you're right.
Well, you kind of said, I don't know, Nintendo?
Pedro? Pedro?
Who is CyberConnect?
That's the developer, not the publisher.
So, incorrect.
Dun, dun, dun.
I guess, it was Namco Bandai.
That was the 200 point question. Jesus.
Did you listen to the last game's Final Jeopardy, Mike?
Yeah, Zach completely ruined us.
Pedro, the board is still yours.
I'll take he's that boss for 300.
300. All right.
That's the
daily
double.
Alright, so well, someone refresh me. I'm not sure the rules of Davy Double.
you can bet
Pedro
up
can
to
bet
how
up
much
to
you
thousand.
Have. Oh.
Pedro has 1,000.
No, it's up to how much you have or 1,000 if you don't have 1,000.
Okay. Well, Pedro, right now you have $200 or you can bet up to 1,000, it sounds like.
I'm going to play safe and bet 100.
100? Okay. And then here's the answer. This weirdly coiffed Koopaling is modeled after a deaf musician.
This weirdly coiffed Koopaling is modeled after a deaf musician, not death.
I said death.
Okay, I heard death.
Who is Ludwig von Koopa?
Yep, that's right.
That is correct.
Yay! All
right. Real quick here before Pedro moves on, we'll get a scoring update for everybody. Pedro is in the lead with 300 NWR bucks. Andy is at negative 200.
Lame.
Mike is at 100.
Yay.
And Zach is at negative 200.
Yeesh.
And Pedro, the board is yours.
I'll take Furby's for 400.
All right. 400?
Yeah.
In Banjo-Tooie, this type of animal named Bottles in the game was killed in the opening scene. Mike.
No,
what is a badger?
I have mole, but
yeah, mole.
I don't know, so that's wrong. I mean, I took a guess. I don't like banjo games. So I thought I knew it.
I get all that right. One, goddammit.
Yeah, I'll give it to Zach because I kind of ruined it because I was just like, mole and badgers are similar.
Oh my god, they're not.
Yeah, no, they're not, and you probably shouldn't go and telling people what the answer is like that.
Yeah, I was wrong, but right. Zach also said mole before I even finished it, so well, give it to Zach.
All right, we'll give it to Zach.
Because you said, okay.
Zach, the board is yours.
Awesome. Let's go with Super Mario RPG, baby.
All right.
Whatever the next number is.
All right. For 200, Super Mario RPG, Yoko Shimomura was the composer of Super Mario RPG. What other Mario series did she score? Or she also scored this Mario series. Pedro.
What is Mario and Luigi?
I should have known. Like, I didn't know that Pedro was going to be in this and how piss easy that one would be because you wrote that spotlight on her. All right, Pedro, the board is yours.
Pedro's running away with this thing.
I know.
Okay, I'll take Super Mario RPG for 300.
All right. The villainous Booster resembles what now-famous character who headlines two different series of games? Zach.
Wario.
Yep.
Not in the form of a question.
Who is Wario?
We're not too strict about that. But we prefer all right, it,
Zach,
so get your act
the
together.
The board is yours.
Sweet. Let's go with the, let's try and get rid of the whole furry category.
All right, 300 or 500?
300.
All right. Conker's Bad Fur Day was the antithesis to most furry friend games. He bounced on the boobs of what type of flower? Or this type of flower? Pedro.
What is a sunflower?
That is correct. Pedro, the board
so
is yours,
fast.
And you're kicking
happy
ass.
I don't know that.
I'm surprised you don't know that, Zach.
I didn't like that game.
I think that game's awesome. But
I agree.
Just me. All right.
Okay, to finish out the furries, I'll take furries for 500.
Okay. Cream the Rabbit and her pal Cheese debuted in this Game Boy Advance series. Pedro.
I know this.
What is Sonic Advance 2?
Yes. You could have just said Sonic Advance. I thought just Sonic Advance 2 would be too tough, but apparently not for you.
God, I knew that somewhere in my head.
Holy all mother. Right. Before we move on, let's get a scoring update. We have
Pedro a million.
Pedro at 1,300. Andy still holding strong at negative 200.
Yep.
Mike still in the green with 100. And Zach has moved up to 500.
Sweet.
All right, Pedro, the board is yours.
All right, I'll take the quotes one for 100.
Okay.
Oh, finally.
All right, so I'll read you the quote, and you have to tell me what game it's from.
The specific game
exactly.
From the series.
Game, not the character.
Right, the game.
Okay, the game.
All right. May the way of the hero lead to the Triforce. Looks like Andy.
The Legend of Zelda?
Which game?
Yeah, we gotta be more specific.
Ocarina of Time?
Nope. God! Mike, you're next.
What is Twilight Princess?
No, incorrect.
I thought it was Ocarina.
Zach, you're up next.
Link to the Past.
Correct.
That is correct.
Awesome.
Alright, here, hold on real quick. Okay. Alright, then the board's yours, Zach.
Is there anything left in Mario RPG?
I think so.
Yes. There are two left in Mario RPG.
Oh, there's not? We're done?
500.
No, no, we've got 400 and 500.
400.
Yeah, 400 and 500 left in Mario RPG. We have 400 and 500 left in...
Neil, you are falling way behind.
Bosses. Am I lagging?
You are. I already said 400.
Oh, okay. I could have just missed it.
400.
The Power Rangers were parodied by this group of villains after the Barrel Volcano. Mike.
Who are the Axum Rangers?
That is correct. All right,
let's finish out Mario RPG.
Okay. This weapon and armor combo gotten after acquiring legendary seed and fertilizer is among the strongest in the game. Zach.
Lazy Shell. What is the Lazy Shell?
There you go.
Yes.
I assume we're going to start getting strict about that.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well,
we got four
good,
left
good.
In quotables
take,
and two left in
He's
the Boss.
200.
Okay. All right. Say Fuzzy Pickles. Oh, come on.
What?
Really? Really?
I'm offended.
Really?
I was going to make this the 100 one.
Okay, Zach's going for it.
Mario and Luigi.
No.
Superstar Sega. No? Well,
no.
I thought it might have been what that photographer says.
You lose points for a wrong answer, right?
Yes.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. What is Earthbound?
Yeah. The funny thing is that, Zach, you making the Mario and Luigi comment is that I asked Carl today for, like, I need another one for the quote thing, and he said, say Fuzzy Pickles and I Have Fury were the two, and I like the Fuzzy Pickles one better.
All right. Real quick, scoring update. Pedro's still at 1,300. Andy at negative 300. Mike is up to 400. And Zach is at 900.
Sweet. That's the way I like it.
Make me look bad over here.
And the board is still yours, Zach.
You make yourself look bad.
Go ahead, Zach.
Whose turn is it? Oh, it's me? Okay. Yeah. Quotables again.
Okay.
Next number.
For 300? Okay.
Sure.
All right, here we go. Did you think a little thing like the end of the world would be enough to do me in?
Really?
Okay, Andy.
Final Fantasy VI/3?
Correct.
Yay, I got one!
Andy, you're at zero,
these,
right?
Not enough to, like, answer.
To be confident, right?
Can we get a category update?
Okay, in potent quotables, we have 400 left as well as 500.
And the same in He's the Boss.
I'll take
yes.
The Boss for
boss
for 400.
For 400? Okay. Godan is a boss in Wind Waker that is similar to this alliterative precursor from Ocarina of Time. Oh, okay, good. Mike, then, go ahead.
Who is Queen Goma?
Incorrect.
Could you read the question again?
Sure. Godan is a boss in Wind Waker that is similar to this alliterative precursor from Ocarina of Time. A hard time
I'm
with
sorry,
that.
I'm an English major.
It's okay.
Alliterative. Come
well, I
on.
Know what that alliterative means. I know who it is. I'm looking at it in my head. I just don't know who it is.
Who is Bongo Bongo?
Oh, then I was wrong.
All right, then who just picked? Was that you, Zach? Or was that, no, it was
that
you,
was,
Andy, wasn't it?
No, it was Mike.
All right, go ahead, Andy.
Oh, Andy.
I'll take quotables for 400.
All right. Okay, here we go. Hey, McCloud, different time, different planet, and you still need Falco's help. Zach.
That's a trick question.
Star Fox Crap Adventures, Dinosaur Crap?
That's pretty close. Yeah, we'll take it.
All right.
He did it in the form. No, did you even do it in the form of the question?
Falco's a dick.
All right, Zach, the board's yours.
Let's finish off quotables for 5.
Okay, here we go. Samus took her clothes off.
Is that seriously a quote?
Yeah, that's a quote.
Wow.
Boop, boop, boop. What is Super Smash Brothers Brawl? Who says it?
I think it's
it was
Snake.
Okay, that's
it.
What I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. I knew it was him or Pikachu.
Dirty old.
I was in,
all right, we got one question left.
All right,
500, so he's the boss.
Here's the final question. This Kirby Superstar boss was quite the dense shellfish. Boop, boop, boop.
They have names?
What is Heavy Lobster?
Didn't even know they had names.
What is Tree Who Shoots Things like apples from his face?
Wispy Woods.
Wispy Willows.
Wispy fucking
Wispy
Woods.
Willows. Wispy
Willows. All
Wispy
right.
Woods and Day to Day are the only ones who have names.
Meta Knight. So, okay, that brings us to the end of round one. Let's get the scores here. Pedro, 1,300. Andy, 0.
Woo!
Way to go, Andy.
Mike,
0. And Zach, 1,300. So we have a tie with the two leads.
Wow.
I had 400 and I lost.
We have a tie at 1,300 and then a tie for second place at nothing.
Wow.
Not bad.
Brilliant.
At least no negatives. You're doing better than Nintendo's
right.
profits.
Go, Andy. Go me and you.
All right.
All right.
You know, you wouldn't think this, but do you guys know that the very first time we ever did trivia at Planet GameCube, I won the very first trivia?
Nice.
And I'm sucking at this.
All right. All right.
Shall we move on to Double Jeopardy?
Yes.
Is this the part where you introduce us and, like,
snap? Oh, yeah.
Why didn't you go around the cast,
Mike?
Neil?
Mike, you already talked about how you won the first radio trivia ever. How does it feel to, you know, be here, what is that, like 10 years after the first radio trivia? Maybe even longer?
Probably about 10 years.
Yeah, damn.
I joined staff in 02. So. And I did that before I joined the staff. Anyway.
Let's move on.
That's a thrilling answer.
Pedro, you're from Puerto Rico. That's cool.
I am? I didn't know that. Wow.
And Andy, you're having a kid in like a month.
Really?
Your life will soon be over.
Don't get used to me being on the podcast, FYI listeners. I'm about to take a leave of absence for as long as this kid keeps crying.
Which means we will never see Andy again.
Exactly. So look forward to Andy in 2015.
Just hope your kid doesn't turn out like Steve Jobs. Motherfucker cried all the time. It's in the book. I'm reading it right now. He cries at the drop of a hat. It's insane.
Say, more Mike trivia. He likes Apple.
Yeah. So, Zach.
Hey.
Do you like boobs?
Dude, do I ever.
Tell me about that.
Man, I like boobs. But they have to be kind of a, like, a certain proportion, you know?
Or else it's just weird.
Like, well, exactly. Like that Watchmen girl, she doesn't need to wear a bra. I mean, really, she's just wasting her money.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Zach
but her
likes
mom?
It.
Hell yeah.
Zach likes it where the boobs are about 60% of the body.
Also a figurine size on his desk.
Yes. And my
so
wife
Double
looks
Jeopardy.
Like Power Girl.
Double Jeopardy, then, yep. Yes.
Let's
all
move
right,
on.
Here are the categories. And
we have
now,
to move
we
on
go
from
up to
boobs?
200, 400, 600, 800, and 1,000 for each
is
category.
Is boobs a category?
No. Furries was the closest you'll get. we have Mother and After, relating to, Earthbound.
Which, based on the fuzzy
sports
pickles.
Game. Yeah. Arcade sports games. Peripheral factoids. And launch games.
Hmm.
Okay.
Doesn't the last place person usually go first?
Yep. Yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and give it to Andy, because he hasn't been in the positive yet.
No, I'm going to go with launch games for 200.
All right. This city-building game was a launch title for the SNES in North America. That looks like Andy.
What is SimCity?
Correct. Welcome to the positive.
Me on my screen.
Let's go with launch games for 200. 400.
400?
Whatever's next.
Okay. Clear it. There we go. In Japan, the GameCube only launched... Okay, hold on. I'm sorry. In Japan, the GameCube only launched with 3 games. This game was the only non-Nintendo-made game.
What is Super Monkey Ball?
Correct.
Glad I didn't get first then, because I thought it was something else.
I did too.
All right, and go ahead, Pedro.
I'll take launch titles for 600.
Okay. All right. This company had the most titles available for the North American launch of the 3DS. Mike.
Who is Ubisoft?
Correct.
It's always Ubisoft.
It is.
I was
if they have a Rayman 2 game
launch
shit
ever.
As possibly
but...
can. Okay, let's close out launch games.
All right, well, we still got two more launch games.
Oh, but... an 800. Wait. Then I want peripherals for 200 then.
Okay.
Oh, I see how it is.
All right. This do we have this? Hold on. This highly publicized Nintendo 64 add-on never made it out of Japan.
64DD.
That is correct.
Bullshit peripheral.
The board is yours.
And what is the 64DD?
Shut up,
Andy.
No,
just curious.
How's it feel to be on the positive side, Andy?
Feeling pretty good about myself. Feeling pretty positive right now.
You have money to wager with in Final Jeopardy, right. So you're looking good.
That's right. I'll take the peripheral thing for whatever the next value is.
All right. This many games were included with the Super Scope. Mike.
What are six?
Correct.
Yes.
Damn.
Super Scope 6.
Yep. All right,
let's
Mike,
take
the board is yours.
Peripherals for, what is it, 800 is next?
600.
No, 600. 8, and 1,000.
Oh, okay, then 600.
This is the Daily Double.
Yes.
All right, how much are you going
to
wager?
You have 1,000, so you can wager up to 1,000, I guess.
Make it a true Daily Double, Mike.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
You could take the lead.
Who's in the lead?
Real quick, let me give you a scoring update. Pedro
it's not Andy.
Yeah, Pedro at 1,700, Andy at 200, Mike at 1,000, and Zach at 1,500.
Oh, shit. Well, I get to answer it myself. I'll wager 500.
Okay.
Here is the answer. This Nintendo series had the most games with Game Boy Printer support.
It's a series?
Yes.
What is Pokemon?
That is correct. And
that
Mike,
what?
The board is
okay.
He cut out.
That's correct.
Nope.
Yes! All it was that?
Yeah, I know. What's the suspense? I thought maybe I cut out. Are you there, Neil?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, you cut out for a second. I think Mike's heart stopped.
So it was right.
You were right.
Yeah,
it was Pokemon.
You were right.
All right.
So now I will take peripherals for, what's the next,
800?
Yes.
Earlier forms of this cable had to be altered to work with a later form of a Nintendo Portable. Mike.
What is the link cable for Game Boy Advance?
Be more specific.
Can you repeat the question?
Earlier forms of this cable had to be altered to work with a later form of a Nintendo Portable.
Oh, what is the System Link cable? Sorry.
Yes.
Correct.
I see what you mean there. What? By the way, you could also call it, what is the connectivity cable?
Yeah.
We were fishing for it.
Yeah, because I had an instance with this where I had a Game Boy Advance FAT, and then I was playing Crystal Chronicles with someone, and I had one of the cables for that, and I had to actually, like, saw off the sides of it to get it to fit.
Wow.
Although,
hold on, I'm taking off my pants.
Uh-oh, Zach's getting serious.
All right, Mike, the board is yours.
Well, let's close out peripherals for 1,000.
Okay, Zach, are you ready?
Oh, that's better.
All right. These two Nintendo 64 games were re-released in Japan in 1997 with Rumble Pak support. Pedro.
What are Wave Race 64 and Super Mario 64?
Correct.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Wow. That's good.
I never knew that before today.
Got one of those.
Yeah.
All right.
That's pretty impressive.
Pedro, the board is yours.
Yeah, that was a lot of points, too.
Can you guys repeat the categories again?
Mother
sure.
And
actually,
after.
Real quick before we do that, let me just give you a quick score update.
Okay.
Pedro's at 2,700.
Oh, my God.
Yay.
At that one, just shot him straight up there. Andy's at 200.
Yep.
Mike's at 2,300. And Zach is at 1,500.
Oh, what the fuck?
Could be worse, Zach.
All right, and here's what we got left. We have Mother and After, Arcade Sports Games, and we have, I believe we have three left in launch games, 800 and 1,000. The other two are completely open.
Right.
I'll take launch titles for 800.
Okay. This Activision published series was available on launch date for 3 different Nintendo systems. Looks like Pedro.
I think I'm going to screw this one, but I think it's the Tony Hawk series.
Correct.
That is correct.
Oh, God.
Jesus.
Wow.
You guys wouldn't believe it. I was on the tape in my mouth, but then I was saying, that might be wrong, but I got to risk it.
The board here is Pedro.
I'm going to finish the launch titles for 1,000.
All right. Mario Kart missed the GBA launch. This kart racer, however, didn't. Pedro.
Jesus Christ.
What is crazy? Konami Crazy Racers.
Correct.
Does he know all this?
Jesus,
Pedro. I knew that one. I knew that one because that was my launch title for the GBA.
Oh.
Yeah, seriously. Pedro, you are incredible. I mean, I am. I'm literally
thank
blown
you, thank
away.
You.
Not over all yet.
Right. So that closes out launch games. All scores remain the same except for Pedro, who's now at 4,500.
I'm putting my pants back on.
Pedro, you can pretty much stop now, and I think you'd win.
I like how Pedro has everyone else combined.
He has more than everyone else combined. Yeah,
can we pool? If it ends like this in Final Jeopardy, can we? The rest of us pool our
points. Yeah, let me give everyone else just since I hate Pedro. Andy 200, yep. Mike 2300, and Zach 1500, bringing everyone to a grand total of to 4,400. So yeah, so Pedro still has more than everybody.
Oh my God!
So Pedro, the board's yours.
I'll take a case post titles for 200.
All right. Do we have the board wiped? Cool. This arcade sports game from Ubisoft was repped by Pele, and by all accounts, was awful. Zach.
Oh my God, why did I buzz in? shit, Pele's soccer academy of shit.
Ooh, you're calling Neil.
Give it one more whirl.
Pele.
Nah, that's not good enough, Zach. That's wrong.
Mike, did you want it next?
Someone else buzz in?
No.
Okay, why'd you buzz?
I'll take a stab at
that
it.
Game.
All right, go ahead, Andy.
Academy of Champions?
Correct.
That is correct.
Yay. Right,
so I was going to go for like MLS Kicks with a Z or something at the end of it.
That game sucked so hard, too.
You were so close, Zach. You had Academy, and I was like, just give one more word.
Well, the funny thing is that I think I used to call it Academy of like, just shit.
Well, that was like an old newscast. That was like an old newscast running theme was how much you hated that game.
Yeah.
We talked about it for like 5 episodes in a row.
Because I was looking forward to it so much.
Yeah.
And then I just, like, I played it and I was just like, oh my God, everything is terrible. I'm going to quit this fuck games journalism.
All right, we're heading back to launch games. What's the next value on launch games?
I think we finished all of them. Yeah, that's
it's
all done.
Oh, sadness. Okay, arcade sports for what, 400?
It's the Daily Double.
Woo! So I have 400 right now?
Yeah, but you can also wager up to 1,000.
Bet it all, Andy.
I'll bet 500.
Okay.
The answer is, stereotypes are racist. However, this stereotype-heavy GameCube game was wonderful. So wonderful, in fact, it was ported to Xbox and PS2.
No one buzzes in. This is just for Andy.
All right.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Can you read the question one more time?
Stereotypes are racist. However, this stereotype-heavy GameCube game was wonderful. So wonderful, in fact, it was ported to Xbox and PlayStation 2.
Arcade sports?
Dude, Neil talks about it all the time.
Oh, Sega Soccer Slam.
Correct.
I like that game. I love that game.
I think it's the greatest arcade sports game.
Zach, I'll spot you 20 points.
Great.
20 points?
All right, well, Andy, the board's yours.
Let's keep going down with arcade sports.
All right. Mario, Luigi, and Peach appeared in 2 EA Sports titles in these 2 genres. Andy.
These 2 sports titles in 2 genres?
Genres. I'm just looking for the genres.
EA, it was NBA Street. Volume
you just,
3.
Just need to do the genre.
Oh, the genres? Basketball. Basketball. And snowboarding SSX?
That is correct.
Oh, yeah!
Wow. What SSX game were they in?
SSX on Tour. I was actually going to do it with the game titles, but that seemed really... Because it was SSX on Tour and NBA Street Volume 3.
NBA Street Volume 3, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Damn.
All right. Let's keep going down the arcade board.
Yeah, this is your category.
Yeah.
All right. What's the value on this one?
Yeah, we're looking at
this is 800.
800. Okay.
This game was the first Mario sports game ever. Andy.
NES Open Golf?
What is golf? I'll accept
that. Oh, okay.
All right, so that's 800. Real quick.
I don't want to hear this.
Okay, quick scoring update. Not much has changed. Everyone's the same, but Andy has rocketed up to 2,200. Putting him in
You're
third
right
place.
Me.
Yeah, behind Mike with 2,300. Pedro's still tall at 4,500, and Zach is sitting at 1,300.
Man, that
that's what Zach had at the start of Double Jeopardy.
That's oh, true. Jesus.
I will close out Arcade Sports.
Okay. Famicom Grand Prix was Mario's first racing game, coming out only on the Famicom Disk System in Japan. The sequel, also on FDS, used this technology that would become the selling point of a future Nintendo system. Zach.
Mode 7.
Incorrect.
Damn it. Damn you all.
Anyone else? Andy.
3D.
That is correct.
Oh, oh.
It uses glasses.
Is it Rad Racer?
I think it can. No. It's actually called Famicom Grand Prix like 3D or something, or 3D Hot Rally or something like that.
Because Rad Racer used 3D, I remember.
Yeah, because I think this came out
in
like 88, 89.
Place now.
He is.
All right, what else we got here?
I think
just Mother and After, the entire category.
That's it.
Well, yep.
I'm done playing then. Mother and After for whatever. 200, I guess.
All right. The correct command to defeat Earthbound's final boss.
Is it seriously going to be all about Earthbound?
Oh, you guys are killing me. I wish I was playing just this category.
I think Zelda 2.
You can play
for
me, Scott.
Yeah, right? Maybe I will. What is Prey? Okay.
Well, duh.
Spoiler alert.
Andy, just roll on to 400.
I'll take Zelda 2 for 400.
This item is used as Lucas's grab in Super Smash Bros. Brawl. Okay, Zach.
Yo-yo.
Incorrect.
Oh, hell.
You guys... Okay, Andy's next.
I did not mean to...
Okay, Mike, go ahead.
I don't know the name of it, but what is that little purple snake dragon-y thing?
You know what? I'm going to count it because no one's going to get anything out of here. That it's the rope snake.
I think he pretty much says
snake.
Yeah,
he pretty much says
snakey dragon purple thing. Yeah,
I'll give it to him. I think that's fair.
Yep. All right, we'll just move right along then. I assume. Okay, where are we at? This is a good one. Xbox 360 RPG combined with Mother 3's currency.
This is where the Mother and After comes into play.
Neil, you suck.
Like
so
before
hard.
And after. In Wheel of Fortune.
Go to hell.
Jeopardy.
Alright. Boop, boop, boop. What is Blue Dragon Power? Blue Dragon Power.
Okay.
Because Blue Dragon is a game.
This boss appears in the New Pork City level of Super Smash Bros. Brawl.
Mm-hmm.
Boop, boop, boop. What is the Chimera?
Are we even given like a Sklens-esque just description of what it is?
Yeah, if you guys don't know things, just sound it out. Just,
who is
just
Pikachu?
Oh, this
UFO.
Is a good. This is a good one. Okay, so for 1,000, Mother 3 first was developed for this system.
Pedro.
What is the N64?
Correct.
That is correct.
I knew that.
Yeah. Oh, I remember seeing previews for that and. Nintendo Power.
Nintendo Power, yeah.
Yeah, it's actually scarily similar to what they wound up with.
Yeah. Oh, man, I was so psyched for it. I was like, Earthbound and 3D? Yeah, I'll take that.
I mean, that's just the weird thing is that if you look at some of that old stuff and actually, you know, look at Mother 3, like, the N64 game became the Game Boy Advance game.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of weird.
Oh, yeah. It's very bizarre. It was an interesting game. Okay. Well, that ends this round. Let me give you guys a score update here.
Please don't.
Well, Zach, you might want to close your ears. Pedro, 5,500. Andy.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I forgot. He came in and swooped in and got another 1,000-point question.
That last
I think he got
one,
three
yeah.
this round.
Yep. Andy, a strong round with 3,200.
Woo!
Mike just trailing at 2,700. And Zach with negative 100.
Mother of God.
Can you put those in the chat so I can do the math?
Okay, yeah. Give me a second. I'll enter all those. Now,
I can't participate in Final Jeopardy,
cocksuckers. I was
going to
say, can Zach do anything?
Nope.
Can we just be charitable? Well, he can't. I don't know. Just for fun, you answer the question. Why don't we let you wager on it?
Wager Texas with a dollar sign.
How do we do the wagering?
We get the category first.
Neil.
Yeah, we'll give you the category, and then you guys will each send in your wager to Neil privately, so in a separate chat.
Did you guys? All right, okay. So the category is for Final Jeopardy: Virtual Boy.
Oh.
All right. Now you guys have 30 seconds to send Neil your wager.
Crap. Even if I double up, I'm still 100 points behind Pedro.
Well, don't tell Pedro that. Maybe he'll make a big wager.
Well, he has to wager enough so that if Andy doubles up, he's 100 points ahead of Andy.
Oh, that's true. See, you're still in it.
I know how Jeopardy works.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
This is much better. Last game, who won last game? It was you, Neil. Yeah, I don't think no one could catch you. I think you were far enough ahead that we couldn't even catch you.
No.
So this is good. This is
so lame. This is so lame. Pedro is basically locked to win this. Unless Andy
doubles
up.
Pedro bet it all.
Yeah, you
actually, Pedro, just don't bet anything, and then I just want you to beat Andy. That's all I want.
Okay, I can do that. Okay.
No, if Pedro wants to beat Andy, he needs to wager 1,000 points.
Exactly.
Because if Andy doubles up, he has 64. And even if Pedro wagers 1,000 and loses, he still has more points than Andy does right now.
Yeah. I like that.
It's a good solid bet, probably.
All right, and here is the answer. Just send it to me in the same chat. Get out of here, Skype thing that won't go. Okay, there we go.
Not that I think you could Google that anyway.
I'm going to ask you to read that one more time, Neil.
All right. The Atlas published Jack Bros, or Jack Brothers, was one of the first games in this series, which saw an entry released in 2011 to be released in the United States of America.
So it's, but it's not out in America then, is what you're saying. Not yet.
Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't
the Atlas published
that. You
Jack
said it was
Bros.
Released in 11 to be released in America. That's very confusing.
Okay. I just added to the thing about that there was... Okay, so this series, there was a game in the series released in 2011, and Jack Bros, a Virtual Boy game published by Atlas, was one of the first games in the series to come to North America.
Okay.
Okay.
That's what happens when you edit questions right before you say that.
Sending you an answer that I know is wrong. That's the only thing I can even think of. I don't even know if that's a real game. Tell you the truth, don't even know. Now I'm Googling my answer.
I was about to do it too. I'll just let you do it.
It is!
Alright, is
it's
everyone
probably
in?
Not right. No.
Zach betted infinity negative, and his answer, or his question, was Armageddon and Vertigo, which is incorrect.
Those, of
this
course, the answers to
game.
Last time's Final Jeopardy.
I'll be amazed
question.
If anybody got this right.
Wow, right. I can't and believe then, this is the
Mike,
answer.
Mike was in third place?
Mike, yes. Yeah.
Mike bet 2,700,
okay.
And his answer was Mighty Bomb Jack,
which
is incorrect.
Which is a real game.
okay. What is Mighty Bomb Jack?
I don't
Mike?
Know, but I remember
it's an NES
my childhood.
Game.
It's an NES game.
It was a pretty popular.
It's on
NES
Virtual Console.
Yeah,
I'm almost positive it's on Virtual
it's
Console.
It's a real game.
Yep.
All right, and Andy bid $3,000 3,000 NWR bucks, and his answer was Wrecking Crew 2K12, which is also incorrect.
But beautiful nonetheless.
And Pedro, who bet 500 NWR connectivity bucks, got very, very close.
Of course he did.
Or at least knew what game came out in 2011 that was related to it. What is Devil Survivor? But the correct answer is actually, what is Shin Megami Tensei?
Oh, God. I would have never guessed that that was a precursor to a Shin Megami Tensei.
Yeah, me neither.
Me neither.
I thought the Atlas published part of it was kind of clear.
Right. If you were going to guess anything, yeah, I guess that would be the series.
I glossed over that part of it.
Yeah, I did too.
Right. Yeah. Okay, well, final scores from lowest to highest. Zach, with some negative, maybe positive
negative infinity.
I don't know how that adds to negative 100.
Theoretical number.
Mike with 0, Andy with 200, and Pedro with a whopping 5,000.
Andy, you dick, you did that to make sure you would be in second place.
So Pedro wins it all. Congratulations, Pedro.
Good job, Pedro.
First game in, and you took over.
And my first time, too. It was my first time, too.
Yeah, I know. That was
to be fair, it was everyone's first time, actually.
Well, Zach, cause... that was Zach's second. Or no, that was...
I know, you
guys are all new. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Hopefully this was Pedro's last game. Going to be trail of tears every episode he's on.
And all right, that'll do it for this week's episode of NWR Connectivity. Before we get out of here, I'd like to remind you to please rate and review us on iTunes. If you've enjoyed the episode, you can always leave comments on the episode form at NintendoWorldReport.com. And if you're so inclined, you can send us some listener mail to connectivity@NintendoWorldReport.com. Thanks a lot for listening. See you next week.